You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show. I mean, really, we joke about it. The stuff we say between when we're on the air is fascinating and really illuminating about the people we work with.
I won't say who unless he's uncomfortable, because he could be uncomfortable.
Right.
But someone that we work with just told us that he would not go to his brother-in-law's wedding if it were scheduled on a football Sunday.
Right.
I think the specific was the Jets.
But that's any football Sunday. Not Super Bowl playoff game. Any Sunday would not go to the wedding.
And what I said to him was, your wife and her brother are going to be at your funeral. The football team that you love,
Freeman McNeil, is not walking into your funeral.
Well, just like we told Dave, he thinks John Mara is going to be at his funeral. Never. They won't send anything.
No. That's why I think that my point is that probably what drives people the most crazy is that there are a lot of people that are like Dave and the person that you're talking about. I know exactly who you're talking about.
He's very sick, the person we're talking about.
Very sick person. But
and a nice guy, but obviously disturbed.
It's apples and wrenches, because obviously you're talking about trying to get younger people to vote and what that could mean to a certain party. But let's just say, for sake of argument, follow me here, that Bruce Springsteen bought the Kansas City Chiefs. Just out of nowhere. And just bought the team.
Just bowled over Mr. Hunt and said, here's more money than you'll ever think of.
He's Bruce Springsteen. He's huge, and we all know his political leaning.
By the way, he's wonderful in the We Are the World, if you should watch
it. Does he come off as sweet?
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
But we know his political leanings.
I do.
He has sung about that. He's campaigned for Democratic candidates. Everybody knows where he stands on the politics.
Friends
and
with Obama.
Who he will vote for in this upcoming election. Yep. And if he bought the Kansas City Chiefs, and they showed him every 5 seconds, do you think the average football fan would be out of their mind the way they are now about Taylor Swift?
It's an interesting point. See, he's probably right.
Not, and I think what, you know, I still stand by what I think is the major thing, but I think what Peter says is true. You know, a lot of people don't like to see strong women.
They don't. We've seen that before.
Right.
And it's associated with football.
If Barbara Streisand bought the Rams and they kept showing Barbara Streisand, they would hate it. Hate it. Hate it.
And we don't know anything about Barbara Streisand. Well, we do, but not that much.
I think we know a lot. Sophia Vergara bought the Chargers from the Spanos family. They show her, people would be outraged.
You can't boo Sophia Vergara.
Unless
you just hate life. No, well, they don't boo at Chiefs games, obviously.
Right.
You wonder whether, like, next year they'd boo if they showed her at a...
But you know what? She doesn't want to be seen. She's in a box. She's in a box. I mean, it's CBS that's showing
her. Let's choose a female celebrity with no political affiliation. Do you think they'd boo, say, Jane Fonda?
Meryl Streep.
Bad example.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
I think most people in Hollywood are of a political persuasion.
That's the problem.
Well, they were really now she was very outspoken, but I think the average fan constantly complained when they would show Kurt Warner's wife. Constantly complained about it.
And the only one who really complains when they show Jerry Jones constantly is Don.
Why? Because I just don't like the man. But it makes sense that they show him. He's the owner of the Cowboys.
Nobody complains about Robert Kraft being shown endlessly.
I do think it's a predominantly male-driven, testosterone sport that just does not want to have to share it with people of the female persuasion. Again, I don't agree with that. But I do think that there are a lot of men out there that bothers them more than anything with the political affiliation and all that. It's just that, why can't we have our... Why does this have to be the case?
Yeah, why don't they show Taylor Swift for 44 seconds over a three-hour game?
Well, but again, because it's an exaggeration, right? Like, and these are probably great fathers who will play Taylor Swift songs in the car with their kids, but they feel like those 3 hours...
See, but I don't agree with your take.
I think we're both against your take. If they're great fathers and they play Taylor Swift in the car for their kids,
then they don't care.
They take their kids to the concert, they wear the little wristbands and everything.
Right.
They don't care. And that's most fathers that I know.
Yeah.
They're on board. Like they're in.
I think most fathers, if they're decent human beings, would love that their kids watch football with them. I love when Charlie and Callie sit down and watch a game with me.
I love it too, but I also know people that don't.
Well, they're out of their mind.
No, but there are a lot of people that are out of their minds. I mean, never underestimate the stupidity of people.
I think Dave likes his son sitting next to him during a game. What is it, just because it's a girl?
Yes.
Well, for those people,
but I think people that are going, that I will make the bold statement that the majority of people that are complaining, as adamantly as they are about Taylor Swift on television, probably are not big fans of women being involved in football, and probably are coming from a sexist point of view. Yes, absolutely. Why would you complain that much about it? The stupid things that they show all the time. Like, I need to see somebody making, what's happening on the concourse and the sausages that they're making, or the person that's naked and painted himself blue. All the stupid day that where it's 0 degrees outside and the guys with no shirts on, and like, no, it's all stupid, right? But this bothers you. Why? What's the one thing that separates that and all the other things?
I'm maintaining that this is not even as big an issue as we're making it out to be, though.
So you think it's just an echo chamber of a certain subset?
I think it's by the way, let me be clear so everyone can hear me, because I know you just think I'm whatever political leanings you believe I have. I'm not even talking about the people with those beliefs. I think it's literally the news outlets who know that over the next couple of weeks, when there's this big, big interest in the Super Bowl, if they turn the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift into a political conversation, now it's not just ESPN and FS1 and everyone else, all the sports people. Now the political talk places can have their angle to glom on to the Super Bowl. It's just an angle for them to talk. I don't think most people care. I really don't. You're a weirdo. If you were obsessed with the Taylor Swift, I used to joke about it. You guys remember at the beginning, I made fun of it. I made fun of her swag surfing. It's all fun and games. But in reality, do you think I spend 1 second complaining? Beyond that, how about the opposite? I'm curious. When after the game they showed Taylor Swift come on the field with Travis Kelce, am I going to sit here and lie to you guys? No, I'm interested. It's the biggest star on planet Earth. I mean, if Beyonce and Jay-Z had never been married, and all of a sudden I found out she was dating Pacheco, I'd be interested in seeing what she had to say, too.
Now, one thing about we haven't brought this up today. So there's a picture out now that somebody took a picture of Patrick Mahomes in the locker room, and he's kind of got a dad bod.
I mean, I'll take that dad bod.
But my point is, the people that are making fun of his body, they're probably some slobs. Who cares that he doesn't have a six pack? What's wrong with people? Will you pick on anything? Can you be a better quarterback than him?
Wouldn't you admit that everything that we react to on this show, in social media, everything, is the vocal minority? Like, what do we do all the baseball season? Talk about Yankee fans complaining about their team. Does that represent all the Yankee fans?
No, but doesn't it bother you that there's a small subset of people that are making fun of an unbelievable athlete that is not built like a bodybuilder? I mean, who are these people saying it? They're sitting at home like with pizza on their chest. I don't think it's not Conor McGregor who's making fun of them. It's these people that are making fun of him, even if it's a small minority of people. Who the hell are you?
I know.
Who do you think you are?
Because there's a lot of dumb people, a lot of hypocrites out there. But I'm just saying is that Peter's probably right. It's not a lot of people that hate Taylor Swift, but they're a vocal minority of people. And we always react to the vocal. Like I said,
we're doing it right now.
Or all the Yankee fans, like the ones that call or tweet us that they hate Brian Cashman, want him fired, that they all hate their team unless they win a championship, or is that just the people that call our show? We can only react to what we hear, and the people that have no problem with Taylor Swift aren't probably tweeting. I have no problem with this. They're tweeting. I can't stand her. So we're always reacting to the vocal minority of people, Michael. It's just how it is.
And we're kind of playing into it right now.
Now, there was a story today, and it's kind of like a story that we're going to tiptoe around because it's a totally sourced story. Mm-hmm. But since we respect one of the authors of the story, Diana Rossini, it was about the Jets, And boy, it doesn't make the Jets look good. It makes them look dysfunctional. It makes Robert Saleh, a guy that we have a real good relationship with, look totally paranoid. Mm. And like, wow, like he's not in control. And it does amplify something that we all kind of assumed. I think there's a line in the story that Aaron Rodgers is the GM and Joe Douglas is the assistant GM. Mm. Aaron Rodgers is running everything. Other parts of the story, according to Diana and Zach Rosenblatt, who wrote it, is that Zach Wilson, by the end of the year, had had it with Aaron Rodgers. They were not, you know, mentor and mentee like it started out. Mm-hmm. Because once Aaron went away to get a surgery, Zach could not get a hold of him when he wanted, before they were like tighter than tight. But then after that, it kind of drifted away. So the whole thing at the end was totally dysfunctional. And then when you read a story like this, Don and Peter and all our listeners, the only hope for the Jets is that Rodgers comes out and plays like it's 2017 again. Because if he doesn't come back and play at the top of his game, this whole thing is going to be the worst dumpster fire that you'll ever see. And not only a dumpster fire, but dumpster fire with toxic waste in there that will bring other people down as well. This story in The Athletic, again, through sources, very few quotes with the names attached, this story makes the Jets look like a bunch of fools. And the whole thing looked like it's a house of cards ready to crumble down. Yeah. There's one story in the story that when Rodgers went on McAfee and said, you know, we've got to stop the leaks. Well, Saleh got his coaches together and actually, I want the person who's leaking to stand up. If you say it now, you won't be in trouble. But if I find out later, you will be. That's the old story. If you stood up now, you'd be in trouble too. But then he said, I'm going to take your phones and check them. I mean, this is unbelievable that this was happening at Florham Park. And you can see why everything just broke down after four plays, because everything was built on one man. And when that one man was extracted out of the equation, Don, the Jets fell apart.
It just, but there's a lot of things that we all knew about or speculated about, but just to see it all in one article was just scary. Again, we can't tell what's true, what's not true, but it feels like there's a lot of truth there because, yeah, of course he's in charge. But the stuff about, like, just Hackett being clueless and and how they kind of just punted on the season after he went down.
Yeah.
When there was really no reason to do that. Well, why is it just, oh, we'll be lucky to win seven games? Why would that be the attitude? When you've got a great defense, you have weapons. And all the time you're talking about how much you believe in the quarterback that you had as the backup. If you believe that you were lucky to be a 7-win team if Rodgers got hurt, then why couldn't you go out and get the backup? And then to think that Woody Johnson, who has done everything for this franchise, built a beautiful practice facility in Florham Park, would be too cheap to go out and get a backup quarterback?
Listen, this one hurts, Michael. Quote, that's what Aaron wants was a common refrain from Hackett as he told coaches what plays he wanted to run during camp. Often, Rodgers would hear Hackett's play call and want something else. The entire offense would reset. Just a small piece of not what you want.
And then they also amplify later on in the story that Hackett was clueless in how to do it without Rodgers and how to do it with a quarterback without Rodgers.
Here you go. Hackett struggled to adjust the offense to the team's new reality. Multiple coaches and players described Hackett as lacking in attention to detail. For most of the season, Hackett would meet with offensive line coach, running game coordinator Keith Carter, and passing game coordinator Todd Downing during the week, but wouldn't get together with the rest of the offensive staff until the last minute of game prep.
Yeah, it's not pretty. Now, I put an ask out for Diana. She has not answered. Because she, you know, she was a co-writer of the story, and she seems to be locked in with the Jets because she's the one who broke the story that Wilson didn't want to go, and then that's also detailed in this story that he didn't want to play, and then he was kind of embarrassed, and I don't think he liked the fact that, you know, Rodgers tried to convince him to play, and then he ended up playing. He played his best game against Houston, and then he got the concussion, and then he was done. But, it shows a house of dysfunction.
Yeah, it just...
What a great quote from Garrett Wilson. I feel like this is something that Don and you have said on the show. Garrett Wilson said, football hasn't been this hard. When I watch it on the sideline, it don't look that hard for the other team. So we got to figure out something to get it rolling no matter who is slinging it. Isn't that so true, Don? It's just everything looks offensively so hard for this team.
Yeah, it's the Giants this year too. I mean, that's why it was so frustrating to be a football fan in New York for the last few years. But guys, is it really that necessary to just completely cave to Aaron? Like, where is he going?
I know. I don't think he has other options.
Yeah, I mean, he really had no other options. He wasn't going to get traded to San Francisco. He didn't want to stay in Green Bay. So he comes to the Jets, a very talented team. Did he come here because it was a talented team, or did he come here because he knew he'd be able to run the show? Is that his end game? He doesn't care about winning a championship, doesn't care about any of that. I just want to go someplace where it could be all about me? That's hard to believe. So you can't sit him down and say, let's come up with a plan here where it gives us the best chance to win. It can't just be you making all of the decisions. I have a general manager. I have the ability to go out and get another head coach. There's very talented winning head coaches that are available. You're not going to allow me to talk to Bill Belichick. You're not going to allow me to talk to Pete Carroll. You're not going to allow me to talk to any of these coaches. It's got to be Robert Saleh. That's why I asked the question, guys. Are they scared to ask him, or do they ask him and he just flat out says no? I can't imagine Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be that hands-on with everything at the detriment of him going out there and winning games. There is no way that Aaron Rodgers, no offense to Robert Saleh, can think that Robert Saleh gives him the best chance to win a Super Bowl. When Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll are available, that Aaron Rodgers can actually think that Robert Saleh gives him a better chance to win. How can that be possible?
Here's how it could be possible. He is such a egomaniac that he thinks that if he's healthy, he can play through anything. And also, the way it's described, his relationship with Hackett is not coach-player. It's like two frat buddies, they said. They joke around. And the Jets are doing something about it because they're bringing in some kind of offensive assistant. Now that's it. They're in the process of hiring right now. Somebody who just doesn't like acquiesce to everything that Roger says. And as Don said, let's say you say, you know, Hackett's gone. Is Roger going to leave? Maybe he will. I don't know.
But is he going to retire and walk over? I just can't imagine you can't work together with him. Yeah, you should run things by him. But just to hand the franchise over to him. I just don't know why anybody would think that that's a good idea, no matter how much of a chance he gives you to win. But this is at the detriment of winning.
And Joe Douglas, who was, you know, building something nice here, has pretty much given up his power to this guy. In the story, it says Joe Douglas is Aaron Rodgers' assistant GM. Think about that. And they named all the people at Rodgers. Rodgers wanted Tim Boyle. How did Tim Boyle work out? Couldn't play quarterback in the league.
You know, it's so funny that...
How did Lazard work out?
Nobody wants Bill Belichick, and the assumption is because he'd have too much power.
Right, and you're giving power to a quarterback.
All the power to a quarterback.
This portion of the show brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall. 10 top brands, over 2,000 vehicles, one place, Sansone Auto Mall in Woodbridge. Make your best deal right now at Sansone Auto Mall. Tell them Bart Scott sent you and take an extra $1,000 off your best deal. Call 1-800-SANSONE today. This falls under the heading of surprise, surprise, surprise.
Okay.
The Nets are playing the Suns tonight. And you can watch it on ABC. Would you like to guess what I'm going to say?
Kevin Durant is not playing.
No.
My guess is that Ben Simmons is a play.
Ben Simmons out tonight.
You gotta be.
Left knee contusion. He played one game after having been out since November 6th, and now he's out again.
I truly called this the day that we said it, by the way.
You did?
The day that he came back.
Well, we all joked when we said he was back. I'm like, all right, for how long? One game. I mean, you don't want to laugh at somebody's misfortune, but... I'm sorry, it's got to be on the table. Like, can he play through anything?
And he looked great the other day.
He almost had a triple-double.
Unbelievable. He is so fragile. And by the way, he's making $45 million a year.
But the sad thing, Michael, it's not unbelievable. It's completely unbelievable.
But the thing was, I mean, I know he had the back issue, but for most of the time in Philadelphia, he did play. He just couldn't shoot. So that was a knock on him. You know, he's a limited player because he couldn't shoot. He didn't want to shoot free throws. Now, he just can't stay on the court. What a terrible deal for the Nets. But again, the big three completely derailed the whole thing. Dorian in Dallas. Dorian?
Hey, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller.
Welcome aboard.
Long-time listener.
Thanks.
I just had a quick take. One, I have a would you for Peter, and also just want to give my take on this Taylor Swift situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When it comes to the Taylor Swift situation, I don't think it's a matter as deep as you guys are saying it is. I think it's just the fact that people are annoyed with seeing her continuously on the game.
It's not continuously, Dorian. It's not continuously. And well, she's not putting the camera on her.
She has no real affiliation to the Chiefs other than dating someone, which based on her dating history could be done tomorrow.
That's
she's
not really
an owner,
true.
She's not a coach, and she has probably zero knowledge of football before dating Kelce.
So?
Think it's just a matter of it being shown continuously.
It's not continuously.
But Dorian, you keep saying continuously. I just told you in a 3-hour, 9-minute game, she was on 44 seconds in total.
Yeah.
How's that continuously?
That's the game, Michael, but when you look at ESPN.com or you look at the app, they're showing her repeatedly on those apps. I think it's just overload.
Oh, but do you think all the Dallas Cowboy cheat, you're from Dallas, you think they all are football experts? Nobody complains about them being on screen.
I don't think it's quite as much as Taylor Swift, but I'll give you an
again, you keep saying that, but Michael just gave you 44 seconds.
She's not on camera that much. I think she just sets people off.
I'm saying I don't think that the cheerleaders are on camera as much as she is.
They shouldn't be. Hold on. But Dorian, they shouldn't be. She's a global icon.
But if they showed 44 seconds of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders during a Cowboy,
would you want to go to a Taylor Swift concert and see NFL clips or Hard Knock clips throughout the concert? There's no real connection.
Let me just debunk what you just said.
There's a connection.
Every time we watch a major sporting event and there's a megastar there, you see that megastar at least a couple times. That is a thing that is done. Period. Like, no matter what. I remember in Kobe's last games leading up, they will show the celebrities that came to see Kobe. If now you take not a celebrity, but the celebrity, literally the biggest celebrity currently on planet Earth, and they now have essentially what amounts to be a storyline with the Super Bowl champions, right. It would be crazy to not show the
Dorian,
person,
you
Dorian.
Keep, you keep saying that she has no connection to the Chiefs.
I she's dating. She's a megastar, but she's, not everybody's interested.
But ignore it when she comes on screen. They're not showing her instead of the touchdown pass. She's dating Travis Kelce, who might be the greatest tight end in football history. Yeah. How could you say there's no connection?
Again.
We're good. But he keeps repeating it, and he's wrong.
But it is a window into the soul of the people that don't like it. Maybe it's just beyond being sexist or political. Maybe there's this feeling like she's infiltrated the club. Like football, you don't belong. This is football. There's certain things we accept in football. And a pop music celebrity apparently is somebody that, for whatever reason, you know, it's the He-Man Woman Haters Club. It's like, no, this is football. This is we'll live with the cheerleaders. They came with the Cowboys, okay? You could do that. And we'll live with all these other things. But this is football, and you don't belong. For whatever reason, whether she's a woman, whether she's famous, there's a lot of people that they show that don't know anything about football.
Don.
Some of the fans don't know anything about it.
Every single game that the Knicks play, every game that they play at MSG, coming out of break, probably in the third quarter, Mike Breen shows every celebrity that's at the game. Ben Stiller, Stephen Chirippa, Howard Stern. Shows everybody. I mean, do they have
to... Lil Dicky was there last night.
Yeah, do they have to take a test to see if they know basketball? Michael J. Fox yesterday, Tracy Poland, his wife. Do they have to take a test?
And by the way, people like Michael J. Fox and Steve Chirippa and Tracy Morgan, they're at every game.
Every game.
They show them all the time. And they're always there.
And nobody is giving them a Wonderlic test to see if they know basketball or football.
I want to see
it's
Taylor take the Wonderlic.
Unbelievable. She doesn't know. How do you know she doesn't know football? How do you know? Because you think she's a woman, so there's no way she knows football?
But there is an escapism I think some people look at football as, and that's why they get upset when there's politics thrown. It's like, I just want to watch my football. She doesn't belong. For whatever reason, whether it's a political affiliation, the fact that she's a woman, the fact that she's a pop star, you get the sense from that caller, it's like, you don't belong. This is our club. and you don't, and you didn't go through what I went through to be able to watch the. It's something. It's got to be something along those lines, Michael. Like, no, sorry, this is our club, and you're not allowed in.
Amazing. To me, it's absolutely stunning. Again, if it was obtrusive, I would almost sign off on it because you're taken away from the game. They're showing her after Travis Kelce makes a catch for a touchdown, and they show her for like 5 seconds celebrating. They're also showing Brittany Mahomes, and they're showing right. Did anybody have a problem with Jason Kelce's mom being shown throughout the Super Bowl last year?
I think she had a commercial last year.
Yeah. Anybody have a problem at all? Gee, I wonder why they have a problem with Taylor Swift. They didn't have a problem with Jason Kelce's mom.
Interesting. Interesting.
Peter, tell us a story.
Happy Super Bowl to all who celebrate. Taylor Swift included, America's number one sportsbook is FanDuel. And if you're like me, Super Bowl Sunday, it's all about, you know, the best seat, the best snacks. I'm a big nacho guy, 7-layer dip guy. Okay. I am a wing guy as well. And in addition to the snacks, it's about throwing down some great bets. FanDuel has so many ways for you to end the season with a W or two or three. Not only can you bet on who's going to score, who's going to win, I should say, but you can also bet on who's going to score, who's going to throw for the most yards, most touchdowns, interceptions. It's all there for you, all the props and fun you want, and so much more. New customers, join today, and you'll get $200 in bonus bets if your first bet of $5 or more wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/Peter to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/Peter. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and over and physically present in New York. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. .com for help with a gambling problem. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Nets against the Suns tonight, whether or not the Net fans boo Kevin Durant, we talked about it earlier, not quite sure. I don't know why they would cheer him. I don't know if they'd go out of their way to boo him. But he really didn't do much for the Nets, and then he left them high and dry. He just bailed. He bailed on them. Supposedly he was well-liked in the building. He treated people well, and that's something to be said. But if you're a Net fan, did he help your organization? No. Did he and Kyrie help your organization? No. Help take them down. He helped put them in the situation they're in now, the 10th spot. That's what he did by bailing on them, by getting rid of assets to get him, getting rid of a coach to appease him, getting Harden to appease he and Kyrie, and then all three of them bailed. So they rearranged the furniture and they left before people showed up for the party. So does that deserve him being cheered tonight?
No.
I don't think so.
What are you appreciating? The whole idea is to thank him and show appreciation for the time he spent here. What are you appreciating? But the run, what was it, to the second round?
Yep.
Listen, I'm a KD guy. personally, love the man.
Right.
But if I'm a Nets fan, like I don't know him, I'm just a Nets fan, there's nothing to cheer for. Gosh, I am so like, I really don't like sounding like the old boomer that Michael is. But man, sometimes this league and the way that athletes are handled now makes it impossible. Like everything, no one can play games. Everyone needs rest. Everyone is friends. There's no real rivalries. The players literally just get whatever coach they want. Everything has to be perfect. And then they have to get cheered no matter what the circumstance is.
Right.
Like, it doesn't, what's the point? Like, if we're going to treat everybody like that, when someone like Steph Curry deservedly gets a farewell tour, isn't it cheapened when we do this stuff?
Sure.
It's cheapened, guys. Can't we save it? Can't we save it for the people who literally deserve it? I mean, listen, KD, for example, if he were to go back to Golden State, I get it. He won a championship there. They want to show him love? No doubt. They reached the highest plateau. But here?
And also, if you cheer him tonight, you're co-signing what he did.
But we have to, but you know what? It's Michael, this league, and one of the, and I guess we probably shouldn't hate on this, because, Don, I think this really works well for this league, and it's something that baseball really needs. The NBA's fan base, when it comes to young people, is compromised of tons of people who root for players. They don't care about teams. How many of the kids who go to Nets fans in Brooklyn are hardcore Nets fans? And how many are Luka fans? How many are Steph fans? Well, how many are Kevin Durant fans?
Well, that's how the NBA markets its product.
And it does pretty well for them. They have done well, right, Don?
Right, because you're right. There may be cheers because there might be people that just became Sun fans now because they love Kevin Durant. I mean, we talked about how Yes promotes the opposition more than the Nets because they realize they can get some eyeballs of people just wanting to watch the Stars to come to Brooklyn or Brooklyn going to the Stars. Now, not how I grew up. I mean, to me, that's not fun. It's about to be teams. Like, you should be excited about the Knicks possibly winning a championship, but not attaching yourself to Stars who jump from team to team. It might work for the league, Peter, as far as getting eyeballs to it, but is it good for these individual teams?
Let's go to Carl in Queens. Carl.
Oh, yes, boys. I'm on. Don, Peter, Michael. I don't know. I you guys bring up so many things. I wanted to quickly just say something about my Jets, and then just talk about the Knicks. Robert Saleh is not a good head coach, and this atomic bomb that Rossini dropped, I mean, guys, total clown show. Please miss me with this. I don't need this right now. I thought I was going to think about the Jets during the draft, and now I have to think about whatever. That's not important. But with the Knicks, my main point is that I want to shout out all of our traveling fans. And ironically, Peter was just talking about all the young fans, that whatever. But every away game, guys, is Madison Square Garden away. It's amazing. I bought tickets to Philadelphia. I forget what the date was on February 22nd. I'm there, guys. We're there. We have to support this team. I love it. I'm here.
No, I mean, they've traveled well, and I know they took over Charlotte. But I don't know if it's so much traveling. There are a lot of Knicks fans, a lot of transplanted New Yorkers around the country.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That might be it. I don't know. Like, did people really get together, like thousands of people, and fly to Charlotte to see the Knicks Hornets? I mean, to me, that would be crazy. I mean, Charlotte's a nice town, but is it really a vacation destination to go see the Knicks?
The one thing I noticed, Michael, traveling with the Rangers, there's always a bunch of Ranger fans at every arena. And some of them do travel. They'll just pick an arena to go to. But you know how many transplanted New Yorkers there are everywhere. How many people call, like, from out of town? They'll tell you, yeah, I used to live in New York, and now I'm living in Chicago or, you know, Sacramento or whatever. You'd be surprised. All the different places, especially when you go to places like Tampa. There's always, but Charlotte, there's probably a lot of transplanted New Yorkers, people that retired down south that still root for the teams up north.
You know, he also brought up Saleh, that Saleh can't coach. I don't know how anybody can say that with any certitude.
Well,
you can't say he's a great coach. You can't say he can't coach.
You can say he's not showing sort of the metal or fiber to kind of keep this thing under control.
Well,
that's fair.
One thing that came out in the story, though, tells me that he was kind of fibbing with us. the second half of the season when we kept asking, you worried about, I don't think about things like that. Well, supposedly in the story, he was very concerned and wanted a vote of confidence from Woody Johnson, starting with like week 11. Never got it until week 17 when the Post got Woody Johnson in the parking lot. So to say you weren't even worried about it when you were looking for a vote of confidence, you obviously were worried about it. And that's normal. I guess you can't express it. But at the time we said there's no... I love when people say, I don't worry about things I can't control. Man. I worry about things I can't control. I don't worry about things I can control.
Well, we knew he was fibbing when he said it, Michael. You even called him out on it, but he wasn't going to admit it. But it's not even about whether you think he can coach or not. Can you do better? Is Vrabel a better coach? Yes. Is Carroll a better coach? Is Belichick a better coach? Come on. That's the thing. So even if you're thinking coach, can we do better? In this short window we have with Aaron Rodgers, can we afford to not know about our coach? They were talking about it on the morning show. We even touched on it. The only coaches you can say that Saleh is definitively better than are all the coaches that are new and don't have a resume. Otherwise, every established coach in this league, you would take over Robert Saleh. And you've got three really good coaches available. Three of them are all still available right now.
And in the story, it says that Saleh is concerned that he's going to be the next Vic Fangio, who's a great defensive mind. And when he got a job as a coach, his quarterback situation was bad and he never got another shot. So obviously he's thinking about it a lot, that he already came up with a comp of Vic Fangio. Let's go to Jackie in Scotch Plains. Jackie.
Hi, guys. How are you? I love your show.
Jackie.
I watch it every day.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I just have a hot take on the Taylor Swift situation.
Okay.
I think it's a lot like Justin Bieber in hockey and how fans treat the fact that he likes to go to the games and watch the, you know, his team and everything, the Maple Leafs. So I think undercurrent of if we condone these people liking our sport, then it makes us less of a man. And it's something I've experienced firsthand commenting on forums and social media about hockey. I live, breathe the Rangers. I watch every hockey game that I can get my hands on TV. And when I make comments, you know, there's always some jerks that say, well, what do you know? Or you have no idea. You're clueless.
That's
they say hockey's for everybody, but I think there's a lot of work to do and to make that all inclusive. And I think that's true across the board in a lot of sports.
You know what, Jackie, too? I see it with women in sports media.
Oh, yeah.
They have to be like better than men to be accepted rather than just as good. I've seen over 37 years with Susan Waldman.
Oh, yeah.
How she's treated. And also, I'm not familiar with Justin Bieber. Is he looked down upon?
I never noticed that. Only because he's from Canada and he's a Leafs fan. So he's accepted, I think, by the community because he is a fan.
Right.
You know, when you see these guys, who was it? Machine Gun Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
He played one of the Winter Classics or Stadium Series, and he tweeted something out, like, looking forward to halftime. Like, he obviously didn't know, so he got destroyed. Like, those are things like, why is he here? He's not even a fan of hockey. Why do they have him performing? But Justin Bieber is Canadian. He's a Leafs fan. I think he's accepted. But what you said about women, Michael, we can make mistakes, and it'll never be because we're a man. But when a woman makes a mistake, it's because she's a woman. And that's really unfair. But that's the way, unfortunately.
And very consistent, too.
Yeah, it's really a shame. But you just keep doing what you're doing, Jackie. I mean, believe me, I run into, there's a lot of women, especially, I think baseball and hockey, Michael, to me, just on feel like it might have the highest percentage of women that root for it. I don't know that for a fact, but just, you know, watching from the outside, it feels like that. And they're some of the most educated fans and passionate fans. You got to get over that, man. But it's been such a men's club, all the sports, forever. But football's probably the last one, right? Because it's so physical and so testosterone driven. Maybe that's the last pendulum to fall. But it's been an old man's club for a long time.
Well, this new year, it's time to finally lose that weight the safe and natural way with NJ Diet. Their results are nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections, and without any of those nasty side effects. With NJ Diet, you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days, contractually guaranteed. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva, along with bioenergetic scans, to personalize natural solutions and supplements that get your body into the fat-burning zone. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. Don't take shots the rest of your life. Lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days, naturally, quickly, and safely with NJ Diet. No hormones, no prepackaged foods, no shots. You can get the doctor's personal email and phone number. Call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. That's njdiet.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The point guard.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
The only hope for the Jets is that Rodgers comes out and plays like it's 2017 again. Because if he doesn't come back and play at the top of his game, this whole thing is going to be the worst dumpster fire that you'll ever see. And not only a dumpster fire, but dumpster fire with toxic waste in there that will bring other people down as well. Proud. Don took the first two of the week. I grabbed this one.
Big bad. Quick one. Quick one.
Quick one. And that's what a good point is.
That's all you need. You don't need to go on and on and on and on.
So help me out here. TP, who listens to the show, writes, I'm a little disappointed you haven't talked about this jet story.
We've
talked about it for about 40 minutes. The last time this reporter dropped something, you had her on to defend herself from Rodgers, but now you treat this with uncertainty?
No, we tried to have her on.
I texted Diana. She didn't. She ghosted me. Anthony put in for her. She ghosted us. So, I mean, people sit there in front of their keyboard and they make these proclamations that have no basis in truth. We have talked about it.
Right, so why even
And we asked her to be on. Because I try to win everybody over one by one, Don.
No, but when it doesn't have any basis in fact, like, then why does it even... There's no point. Then why are you trying to win them over anyway?
I try. Christian in New Jersey. Christian.
Hi, I'm calling from Califon, New Jersey. I just find it hypocritical that people are so outraged about Taylor Swift, wholesome, dressed very wholesomely, yet Jason Kelce could be like shirtless, like John Belushi in Animal House, cracking beer cans on his head, and that's all cool in the bro code. That's totally fine, but we're not allowed to see Taylor Swift, wholesome Taylor Swift, celebrate her loved ones excelling on the field.
It's a conundrum, Christian. It doesn't quite make any sense. She's not. She doesn't seem to be a polarizing figure. She's kind of like, maybe because she comes off as kind of, I don't know, I don't want to use this word, perfect, that people just think it's an act. But really, who has she ever really done wrong?
There's no real controversy with her.
I mean, on her tour, she gave like $5 million to the crew. that she didn't have to. They got paid. This was a bonus from her. I think like every significant person got $100,000.
Because she took that money and just poured it back into them?
Right.
Because
she made so much. This is for you. Thank you so much.
A tip, if you will.
A tip.
Well, that's pretty good.
I don't get it. That's why I bring it up as much as I do, because I don't get the hate. What has she done that's hateful?
We're not getting tons of calls with people hating on her, though. Let's be honest.
Let's go. Because you know what? Because those people, the guy from Dallas tried.
He tried, but
let's go to John in North Babylon. John.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
So, good. You know, Don, you said a little earlier, and I agree with you. You know, there's other coaches out there that are better than Salah. But talk about a conundrum. You know, what do you do if you fire Salah, which they're probably not going to do because they gave him a vote of confidence? Is a Mike Vrabel or Belichick going to come here and have to keep Hackett? Or if they try to get rid of Hackett, then does Rodgers turn around and say, well, then screw this, I'm walking?
Where is he going?
It's retirement. He doesn't need this.
Well, how would that look? He doesn't need it? Well, he could have stayed in Green Bay because he felt like it was over. It was time to move on. He goes to the Jets. Why? He could have retired. He decided he wanted to stick around. He wanted another Super Bowl. Go to a talented team. I mean, are you that worried he's just going to up and retire? How would that look for him? I want to stay. I leave Green Bay. I force my way out of there. I go to New York. I make all these demands. I'm basically the de facto general manager of the team. I get hurt four plays in. They let go of Robert Saleh, who at best is an unknown commodity, and then you walk away and retire? He would have all over his face.
I don't think he'd retire, Don. He'd force his way out and go somewhere else. There'd be a team that would want him.
Well, where are you going?
There'd be a team that would want him. I mean, there's a lot of bad quarterback play out there.
Well, you're not going anywhere unless I trade you. He can try to force his way out, but you know what? It takes two to tango. And as far as these new coaches coming in, I've said this before. They're smart people. If they want Aaron Rodgers to work, otherwise they wouldn't take the job. And if Hackett gets the best chance to make Aaron Rodgers work, wouldn't they at least be open to the discussion of keeping Nathaniel Hackett the OC?
And in answer to the caller, too, you do this behind the scenes before you fire anybody. You see if somebody's interested, what the rules of engagement are. Would they keep Hackett? Do they want Rodgers? And Rodgers came out, you know, after we were told that he was not going to be on Pat McAfee the rest of the football, he forced his way on the next day.
That was unreal.
To sing praises of Bill Belichick. I don't think he would rail against Bill Belichick getting the job. I don't think Bill Belichick would take the Jets job, probably.
Maybe he wouldn't, but, you know, and maybe they went behind the scenes and found out that he wouldn't take the job, but, you know, Pete Carroll wouldn't come back. So these guys would rather not work than be a Jet coach?
It's odd. It's the final week of Superbox Bonanza 5. Each qualifier will take home a $25 Fanatics gift card, have a chance at one of 10 Superbox prizes. What number did Rodgers wear?
Aaron, that's 8.
Be caller number 8 right now at 888-987-ESPN to select a box for the big game with a chance to win $500 in the first and third quarters, $1,000 at halftime, and a final score payout of $2,000. It's all brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey and the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey and Security Dodge. Come get some. And we change lives with our promotions.
Is that true?
Because a guy called up earlier. We gave him tickets to a Drake concert 6 years ago. He took his girlfriend.
Now it's his wife.
On the first date. Now it's his wife.
Are you kidding me?
We changed lives.
We created that marriage.
And if they have children, we created those children.
Those are K children, as we call them.
Yes. When I'm getting ready for a game, I have to be prepared, Peter.
How?
I have my lineup cards.
Okay, what else?
The latest team stats.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
And of course, no, my mug of Bigelow tea.
Oh.
For me, you know, it's Bigelow Earl Grey. With a smooth taste that keeps my voice in peak condition, even when the game goes into extra innings. I refuse to settle, neither should you, no matter how hectic your day gets. Grab your favorite Bigelow tea and take a moment just for you. So grab a mug of your favorite Bigelow tea, join the millions of fans that make Bigelow number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.